Well, here we are back for another scintillating episode of the Cigar Box Guitar Builder. And I can officially say now, I do believe, that it is brought to you by Birdwood Guitars and CB Gitty. Isn't that exciting? So a few things been going on. Obviously, over the last couple of weeks, I have been spruiking the fabulous features and benefits of shopping with the wonderful cbgitty.com. And if you would like to support this particular program, you can do so, especially if you are a Cigar Box guitar builder, and you can go and do your shopping with CB Gitty via the affiliate link at the bottom of the this video's information. The sales that you make go towards helping us out. We do get a percentage of the sales from cbgitty.com for those people who have ordered using the affiliate link, and you can use the affiliate promo code Birdwood, and that will give you 10% off your first three orders. Australian and New Zealand customers will also benefit from the greatly reduced shipping costs, which Ben Gitty Baker has very kindly, basically he's copping some of the hit on that, and he's definitely helping us out with those shipping costs. So a very big thank you to Ben Baker. On another note, it is with no small degree of amazement that I thank everybody who has joined up and is a member of the Cigar Box Guitar Builder Facebook group. We have just hit 5,000 group members over the last week, over this last weekend, and it has absolutely blown me away. I cannot believe how many people are, and to be honest with you, as of this morning, we are unofficially almost at 5,100 members. So an enormous thank you to those people who are joining us. But why wouldn't you? It's an amazing group. If you haven't joined the Cigar Box Guitar Builder group as yet, it is incredible the amount of people that are posting the most beautiful builds, the most amazing builds. And it's quite an exciting experience to kind of flick down through the group and see all the incredible builds that people are doing. And it is 3:01. And Pete's just sent me a message saying, "Hey, mate, are you alive?" So it is 3:00 here on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm about to interview Pete Vivas from Buzzard Guitars. So with no further ado, here we go. All right, and we are here with Pete Vivas from Buzzard Guitars. How are you, mate?
Good, I'm good, Abs.
That's good. Sorry, been trying to get a hold of Pete for, I'm going to say for months, and for no fault of yours at all, mate. So apologies for backing out of the last interviews, unfortunately. I just, I wasn't sure how I was going to do it or what I was going to do. So as I was saying to you, it's gone back to being very low tech, just recording on my phone. But hopefully, we're getting a little bit of sponsorship from Ben Baker from CB Gitty. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to do some mixing again soon, and it's just something to help out. So, which is very cool. So thanks to Ben Baker from CB Gitty, which is cool. So
yeah,
but mate, you, what the heck has been going? I've known you for,
it's almost 10 years.
It's got to be. It's got to be. I started doing, because I first met you, where did I first meet you?
Well, we were friends on the Cigar Box guitar page.
Yeah.
And I think you were just starting to do the markets. I was selling some guitars through Katoomba Music.
Yep.
Through Dan. And I was selling some through Pete's Musicians Market in Newtown. and doing work for mates on guitars and fixing up my own builds. And so, yeah, we've got a lot of history.
Yeah. I miss Dan at Katoomba Music. He's he was a character, that's for sure. He's not dead, everybody. He just sold the business.
I think he was over it.
Yeah. I think he was going to go to university, actually, from what I remember.
Yeah, he wanted to study, yeah.
Yeah, he was a clever bloke. We liked our guitar, so he had to have been clever. So, I mean, you've heard me kind of espousing you and talking about you on the podcast, and for those people who haven't...
Thank you.
Oh, mate, my story with you goes back to... kind of meeting you for the first time, really, face to face at the markets up at Lawson there, when I had my tent and I had my little cigar box guitars up there, and you know, and just getting started in it. I think it was about a year after I'd built my first one, and you were very kind. You kind of, although you'd been building for a lot longer than me, you kind of you came in and you were very, very positive. You were very, you know, you didn't pull your punches. You kind of looked at some things and went, oh, how have you done that? Oh, okay, mate. But you weren't like, oh, that's shit.
No. Everyone needs encouragement when they're getting started.
But the thing I loved was, well, you always had an idea. You always said, oh, what, you know, this is what I do. And you were always kind of really cool about sharing your ideas and your thoughts. You didn't get that a lot. There were a couple of other people who used to pop in every now and again, which I won't say their names, and they used to kind of walk away. When they left, you'd kind of sit there thinking, hang on, was that a compliment or was that... No, I don't think that was a compliment. Hang on. So you kind of... Yeah, it's not a nice feeling, but no, it was lovely. And then... now, you were living at Katoomba at the time, right?
Yeah, I moved from Katoomba just before you set up the shop there.
Yes.
Which was pretty bad timing.
Yeah.
That could have been good. But, it's been about 6 years.
Yeah, it has been. And where are you now?
I'm in a little fly speck on the armpit of the universe called Gundy, sort of halfway between Scone and Barrington Tops.
Oh, okay. What did you call it last night?
Upper Central Butthurt.
Yeah.
It's a lovely spot. It's right on the Pages River. There's a pub on the riverbank.
Yep.
There's a swimming hole on the river. It's surrounded by horse racing studs, and it's really picturesque. And I'm sort of trying to prioritise renovating an 1850s ironbark slab hut.
Oh, okay.
The house has got the original 12 foot by 20 foot ironbark slab hut, which is the kitchen area.
Yeah.
And then there's this breezeway and a separate cottage.
Yeah.
But it's all hand adds timbers and bush built, and I'm slowly getting through the renovation here as well as making the guitars.
Yeah. I thought you initially had moved from Katoomba. I thought you went to Oberon or somewhere out near Oberon out there near Lithgow.
I recently went down to Bondi Beach of all places.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah.
like 150 metres from the beach.
Yeah.
And I had a workshop set up in a cellar underneath the house there.
Yeah.
And staying with a friend and helping them fix their house up. And
yeah.
Then I went to the Arbor Studios at Arncliffe.
Yes.
I had space there for a while. Then I back to Katoomba. Then, yeah, so I did a bit of moving to and fro between Sydney and Katoomba. But I found my place here.
Yeah.
And it's nice up here.
Yeah. Yeah, how did you find selling in the city, especially around Bondi? Because I've always been very curious about... My wife and I sometimes, we sit there and have imaginings. You know, we think, where do you want to be? What do you want to do in 5 years? Or what do you want to, where do you want to, because, you know, since closing the shop, I do like the idea of maybe eventually, depending on what happens with teaching and stuff like that, which I am enjoying at the moment. But I always often wonder about opening up another shop. And one of the thoughts was somewhere like, you know, somewhere like Bondi or somewhere like the, you know, the Inner West or something like that. How did you find selling around there?
Well, I have a pretty good relationship with Pete from Pete's Musicians Market.
Yes.
Because I've known him for 30 years from when I was living in Newtown.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd bought and sold a stack of guitars through there when I was younger.
Yeah.
And
that's at Newtown? Was that at Newtown?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I had reconnected with him and was selling some stuff through him. And he took on a bit. The artist studios where I was living, there was heaps of people in that little community that I was selling to. And I was also still selling through Dan as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I still had my finger in, and with Ian, who's got the shop now. So I'm looking to sort of start selling through a shop in Tamworth.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
But not the cigar box guitars.
Really?
So, yeah, so I've got some projects coming up. Some of the timbers that I use for the higher-end cigar box guitars,
yep.
I'm sort of going to start doing some electric hollow-body mandolins.
Oh, lovely.
And selling them. I want to get three or four done this year before the next country music festival up there.
Yep.
So I want to do some higher end acoustic and semi acoustic builds.
Oh, lovely.
As well as my electric builds.
Yes.
But yeah, I've been doing quite a few of that. I'm sort of working on 12 electric guitars at the moment.
Yeah, is your website still up? Did you originally
I've just got a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Yep. Because I remember originally you had a website, you had a Buzz and Guitars website, which I used to pore over it all the time.
No, I just never could be bothered maintaining it.
Mm. Yeah.
But I'll give you a quick pan of some of the builds.
Now I'll do my best to describe these guys. So we've got, what's that, a lefty? No.
No, it's a reverse, sort of like a Firebird reverse body Jazzmaster.
Yes.
Hollow body.
Yep.
With a Duesenberg tram.
Yes.
And got this lovely telly with sandwich rosewood back and top.
Wow.
Carved Australian cedar.
You'll have to pop those some pictures of those up on the group, man, so people get people.
I will when I've got them done. I've got all my license plate builds.
Yeah,
it's a really old ones too.
Oh yeah,
1934 Illinois. And,
wow.
So they're for special builds.
Yep.
So
can people get in contact with you to? Oh, wow. Gee whiz. Sorry, guys. I'm just... Pete's got a whole range of his electrics that he's built. And there's that Rezo. There's a red Rezo. Rezo. Oh, she's beautiful.
It's got a piezo as well as electromagnetic pickup.
Yep.
A blender circuit. I am going to do some thicker bodies so I can hide some active electrics in them.
Yep.
Because the piezo is a little bit on the woofy side.
Yes, they always are. They always are.
Yeah, they are.
It's part of... I think a lot of people poo-poo them, you know, and it's... I think for a cigar box guitar, I love them when they are that very lo-fi thing, but I think I agree with you with that. You probably want to balance it a bit more with the magnetic.
I find the best way to deal with them is just run it through a cheap Boss EQ pedal.
Mm.
And that way you can doctor the sound so it doesn't feed back.
Yep. And you can get them for next to nothing.
Yeah, I think they used to be about $75. I think they've probably gone up a little bit. And they're bulletproof pedals. They've got like 7 or 8 bands graphic equalizers.
Yep.
That you can boost or cut any frequency you want, cut out all the unwanted feedback.
Yeah.
You still get a little bit of box noise, but,
they
weren't
all right.
As good as any, $300 DI that you might want to buy. I've got a few here that I'm just sorting out. Pickups, like balancing the pickups.
Yep.
I put pickups in, and then I've just got to work out what combinations I want.
Yeah.
So this is just what's in this room. I've got another room full of guitars as well.
So is this a full-time gig for you?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks it, because the amount of work that you're doing and the amount of, and the finishing, I tell you what, the finishing work on those guitars is fabulous.
Yeah, well, that comes from being, doing cabinet work and recycled timber furniture for 20-odd years.
Yeah.
and antique restoration. So
it certainly helps.
I've saved so much good timber through the antique restoration over 20 years.
Yeah.
And just put all the best tone woods aside.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've just got racks and racks and racks of all black wood and mahogany.
Well, I'm still going through that stash that you gave me years ago.
Yeah, there was quite a bit in that.
Yeah, I'm still going through heaps of that. I did a really lovely Strat type guitar that had I think it was a very, very much like a mahogany, quite an open grain, honeyish kind of timber, and it was one of the pieces that you gave me, and I had to book match it. Well, I didn't book match it. I joined it, and I used a piece that I've still got some up there of Hewn pine cabinet. There was a curved piece of cabinet that you gave me, and it was a Hewn pine, and so it had a Hewn pine cap on it with just a few nail holes, and
it was probably cowrie.
Cowrie pine.
Cowrie pine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was just, and the it literally sat in the shop for a week. And I remember this young guy from, I think he's from Melbourne. Young guy from Melbourne just came up and he fell in love with it, and it was just, and it was those timbers. So you just, like, you could tap on it, it rang like a bell. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, they're great timbers. I'm doing a 51 style P bass at the moment out of that cowrie.
Yep.
But it's full 45 mil thick.
Oof.
Slabs of cowrie.
Yeah.
That over 100 years old from a seamstress's workbench. And I've got that happening. I've got another few electric builds that I've got to finish off.
Yeah.
And I've got to do a neck for another guy.
Yeah.
For his Vintera. I've got to do a batch of necks.
Oh, okay, yeah. You are busy.
Yeah. I've done a bit of work for some of his guitars, just put some pickups, some Mad Love wide range humbuckers.
Oh, wow.
So
like the Fender, kind of like the Fender ones, those big, the wider Fender ones. Yeah.
Yeah, these have got the correct magnets in them.
Yep.
Unlike the Vinteras and the cheaper Squires.
Yeah.
And they're handmade in Melbourne, and I've got them in mine.
Yeah.
And they're amazing pickups. So I just swapped out that, and he was playing mine, and he fell in love with my neck and goes, all your necks feel better than my Vintera. So,
oh, wow, yeah.
So he's getting me to upgrade the neck.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of really high-end acoustics. I've been sort of doing some setup work for
him. Oh, nice. And he's local to you?
Yeah. He's very local. He's got some custom-shop Martin acoustics.
Oh, wow.
And some boutique-made Santa Cruz acoustics are just to die for.
So is he a professional musician, or is he a minor?
No, he's from Nebraska, actually.
Oh, really?
And he's a school teacher like you.
Yeah. Geez, they must be paying him. They must be paying him more up there than they're paying me down here. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, he's retired, so.
Yeah.
So, but he's got some lovely acoustics. I've been doing some work on for like loose bindings and doing some repairs and setups and he's got an amazing collection of electric guitars as well.
Oh, so it's just it's barely work, is it?
No, it's like this never was work to me.
Yeah. Well, actually, I just want to go back to pickups for a minute. I saw a post in the on the group where you're actually rebuilding some of my favourite pickups, which are the gold foils, old vintage gold foils.
I picked up a box lot of parts, and there was so many. I can't describe it. It's, I hit the gold mine, really.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't described properly on eBay. I spent $800 on the parts.
Yeah.
Just looking at the photos, I could tell there were some gems in there. I ended up getting a 1967 Telecaster bridge pickup.
Oh, gosh.
And some... lots of 70s Maxon humbuckers and IBS Flying Fingers, and these are some of the some of the nylon bobbins that are this, exactly the same as what are in the gold foils, but they're also found in some of their other generic pickups, but the bobbins are the same, so I'm sort of converting them to gold foils.
Yeah,
and putting them in different housings and making some custom covers. And
I noticed you stamped your name.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get some open covers for my Telecaster neck pickups.
Yeah.
I wind my own Telecaster pickups and have done for ages, and so. They're based on the 1950 broadcasters.
Yes.
Overwound, just like Keith Richards.
So nice and fat.
Favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've always run the neck pickups without a cover.
Yeah.
They just sound more transparent and clearer and fatter tone.
They're not
choked. And so I've ordered some open covers, and I'm going to do some gold foil covers.
Oh, lovely.
On my barn casters and things like that, and make that a sort of like a bit of a cliche sort of my brand.
You ever thought about building pickups for sale?
I've sold a few to friends.
Yeah.
And I've done rewinds for people. I do quite a few rewinds for someone you probably know, Ian Willis.
Yeah.
Rewound a whole bunch of K speed bumps and some vintage Fender, so 1950s Fender and 1960s Fender pickups for him.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And, and they turned out really well, and he's happy with the work. And so I sort of was encouraged to sort of, almost all my electrics, I do my own pickups.
Yeah. The funny thing
it's easy to spend $200 on an expensive pickup and then not be happy with the sound, and then you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you wind your own pickup and you don't like the sound, you can rip the copper wire off, rewind it differently, swap some magnets out, and you can get it to sound the way you want it eventually.
Yeah.
And you learn the process as you go. I don't know whether you can see that.
I can see that very clearly, yeah.
It's a Telecaster, a cheap Chinese Telecaster plastic bobbin pickup that had a ceramic magnet glued to the bottom.
Oh, yes.
But I've converted it to a P90.
It's fat.
Yeah, because I needed a pickup I could raise more for that. Rosewood telly, I can't raise the pickup enough.
Oh, okay, yes, I can see that, yeah.
because I've got a neck angle and a
tunematic,
Shaler tunematic,
yeah,
Duesenberg. So I needed more string height, and I just can't raise it. So this, with having the speed bump effect of the pole piece screws, that instantly gives you an extra 2 or 3 mils of height. And so that's for that guitar.
Yeah. So I'd love to build my own pickups, but it's always just been a question of time. I just find it so time consuming just to do what I'm doing with the builds that I've got.
Yeah.
And like it's a luxury that I can't, at the moment I can't afford to do, but I built this is I don't know if you can see it, but this was my very first foray into building a pickup, and I literally sat there. There it is. I don't know if you can see it. Lighting in here is awful. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's awful. Sorry. But it's basically I sat there and just I probably only put about 200 wines or 300 wines on it, because I just did it by hand. I just wanted to test it, and I just wired it up to this, to the jack, and I held it over a guitar and strummed it, and it bloody well worked. It was like it didn't work well, but I could hear it, you know, and it was so exciting. It was such an exciting thing. But I must have done that.
One I made.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's like just the same sort of. This is what you don't have to do. If you've got a sewing machine or access to a sewing machine,
yep,
the plastic handle on the back,
yes,
if you just with some tape and a magic marker, just mark out the center,
yeah,
and then you just get the super heavy duty double sided tape,
yes,
and mount it on like that,
yep,
and then just spin it, check the balance,
yep.
You might have to pull it off and put it on a couple of times. And once it's balanced, just use that. And just don't worry about counting. Just fill the bobbin.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to. I mean, who are some people? I mean, there's cigar box. Obviously, we're very cigar box guitar centric on this podcast.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, handmade guitars and six-string guitars, it's all part of it. Like, it's all part of the family, you know. So making... You know, when I think about people who are making their own pickups, I often go back and think of Mike Snowden's probably the latest one who's doing some very cool P90s and things like that over in America. And even Wiggins brand. I know that Rob's guitars.
They're really nice looking pickups.
They are. They look amazing. However, they are also a very, very nice price.
Yeah,
but and I think that's the thing that I think cigar box guitar builders, because we do tend to use pickups that are made in the Far East and things like that and all that sort of stuff, and I'm not knocking that because I use them too, but when it comes to getting something handmade as well for that real special build, there's nothing like it. And I think I definitely forget sometimes that there's something very special about a handmade pickup, because it does sound different. It does sound different. There's something very...
They're more musical.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have that character that a vintage pickup has.
Yeah.
Because with machine-made pickups, they can't put as much tension on the wire.
Yeah, because it breaks.
They have to run less tension, so they have to wax pop them so they don't feed back.
Yeah.
Whereas with a handmade pickup, you can start off slow and a little bit loose.
Yeah.
And then you can wind a bit harder.
Yeah.
And you can actually... You can put a lot of tension on the wire and stretch the wire.
Yeah. Are you using the 42K?
42, 43, and even 44.
Yeah. So I got that. I bought this spool. Like, you can barely see it. It's as thin as hair. And this is 42. I think this is 42K.
The 44s are even thinner, and like,
yeah,
it's a bastard to work with because, and that's what's in the Gulf oil, original Gulf oils.
But isn't that just lovely to think that that's, you know, how many pickups would you get out of that spool?
Well, that's, I think that's about a half of a 5 pound. Or,
yep.
Out of a 1 pound wire spool, you'll get between 12 and...
Really?
15 pickups.
Wow. But they take a, do they take a long time to wind?
No. You spin at about 3,000 RPM.
Yeah.
So you can once you get your feel right.
Yep.
Once you get a touch, the more you do, the easier it is.
Yeah.
So when you have a break, it takes a while to get onto it again.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah. You fall off.
So I usually start with an easy pickup that I've done before, like a 42 gauge Telecaster or a P90 bobbin or a Strat, and just take it slow to start with.
So the P90, when you're talking about the P90s, you got your single coil, which are quite thin. And the P90, the secret with the P90 is that the wire is actually spread apart just a little wider, isn't it?
It's wider, and also because of the two magnets, you get a more focused, the magnetic field is squashed and focused.
Yeah.
When you get two alongside each other, they're pushing the magnetic field away from the pole pieces and closer to the... away from each other and closer to the pole piece, so you get a focused sound.
So if you're putting them at the bottom of the bobbin, are you putting like the tips of my fingers being north? Do you squish them together like that, or do you go north south when you put them together? Does it make a difference?
That they north south either side of the pole pieces.
So like facing, that
facing north south. To the pole piece.
To the pole piece?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, yeah. So it's north and south also on the side. So they're attracted. So they're attracted. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah. So what happens is if you try and reverse wind to get hum cancelling, it doesn't work with P90s.
Right.
Because then you have attracting poles close to each other away from the, and it draws the magnetic field out further away.
Oh, okay.
So you lose the P90 sound. Yeah. So never do reverse wound P90s. Always wind them the same.
Yeah.
And you keep that sound. You get a bit of noise.
Yeah.
They're noisy pickups.
But I think to start with, I'd probably do some single coils, like, you know, this like this kind of thing. But obviously more wines.
just practice on some old pickups. Just strip the wire out and just practice.
Yeah, that's a good point. So where to next? What's happening? What's happening in the, like, as we move forward? Are you stepping away from Cigar Box Guitars, or are you still focusing on them? Or
I'm still working. At the moment, I'm doing a violin case lap steel.
Yep.
I've got an old violin case, a really old 100-year-old violin case. It's like the coffin-shaped ones.
Yes.
Out of timber.
Yep.
And I'm doing two lap steels, one out of the lid, one out of the base.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I've got that happening at the moment. I've still got plenty of boxes, and I'm about to start spinning my own resonator cones.
Oh, wow.
On my lathe.
Yes.
So I'm sort of going to experiment with different types of aluminium.
Yep.
It's important to get the right magnesium aluminium combination, the alloy, right? because when you spin it and temper the aluminium, it actually becomes harder.
Right, I see what you're saying.
During the process.
Yep.
And not all aluminium will do that.
Right, Zach, because you're applying heat as well as pressure.
Yeah. So it sort of tempers it and it keeps its shape better.
Yep.
Sounds and and all the established companies like Dobro and National don't give their secrets away.
No.
So it's about 1% magnesium.
Okay.
So
you've got to try and find the right. You've got to try and find the right aluminium for that, yeah. Now, if people want to find your Cigar Box Guitars, if people want to find what you're doing, obviously you're on Facebook. They can find you through the group, the Cigar Box Guitar Builder group, and you're under Buzzard Guitars.
Yes.
Yep. And or they can buy us, if I remember, on eBay.
Through eBay, yep.
Yep.
Again, Buzzard Guitars.
Yep.
There's a link on my Facebook page. I try to keep a bit of stock on there. Usually, I've got about a dozen, 15.
I've got a bit
of variety.
I've got to say, your prices are actually really, really good. They're really good. I mean, considering the amount of work that goes into the guitars that you build, because you're using really lovely corners. A lot of old timber that you have to mill. There's a lot of work that goes into actually building.
I prep all the timber, and I have racks and racks of the timber already bookmatched and thickness, and I do it all on thickness sander.
Yeah, but all of that work though, it all adds up. It's all time. It's all, and you know, time is the old saying that time is money. You know, there's that thing as well. So I'm just saying, I think your prices are fabulous for what you're selling. They're lovely.
When you're doing it full time, you've got to move it to keep the inventory turning over.
Yep.
And it's better to have you know stock in, stock out, moving.
Yeah. Than gathering dust.
To do whatever else you want to do with it.
Yeah.
And the longer the guitars sit here not being played, they
lose their mojo.
Pardon?
They lose their mojo.
Well, yeah, and they, we get pretty extremes of weather here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it gets up to like 45 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
In summer, which is, I think, for people over in the States, about 110 Fahrenheit.
Oh, yeah.
And very dry, very low. So guitar timbers can move.
Yeah.
So when I've got a guitar finished and set up, I just, I'd rather it go to a good home and
straight away, played. Yeah.
So it doesn't sit there and need another setup and another a new fresh set of strings by the time I sell it.
That is true. That is true, mate. Well, Pete, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Is there anything?
It's been fun.
There's a little question I do like to ask. I'm going to go back to asking this question. There's two questions I like to ask people at the end of a show. The first one is, what would be your tip for budding Cigar Box guitar builders?
Just experiment with whatever tools and whatever materials you've got.
Yep.
Experiment, because you'll find your own path, you'll find your own style.
Yeah. And the last question is, what's your secret weapon? In your workshop, which tool would be your secret weapon?
Probably I've got the bobbin sander now.
Yes.
So that saves a lot of work on shaping necks.
Yeah. Is that the oscillating spindle sanders or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got mine from. I love mine. I'm not set up at the moment to have it back up and running, but I want to get it back up and running. It's a Triton. I got it from Masters before they went bust. And I got it for like $200. It was brilliant.
Yeah. But probably the one that saves me the most time is I've got a fret slotting saw that goes on my table saw.
Oh, wow.
With templates and yep. a sled.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I can do 20 fretboards in the morning.
I think I need to invest in something like that because my shoulders are knackered. I've got arthritis in both my shoulders. So by the time I've fretted 2 or 3 necks, I'm done. That's it. That's me done for the day almost because I've got to go up and almost put ice on my shoulders. It's called getting old, people. Shut up.
Toughen up,
you big sook. Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. I haven't had to use the 7-second delay, not even once.
Yeah, I've been on my best behaviour.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we finish up today?
Just to everyone in the group and on the podcast, keep up making some great guitars. And for you, Adam, keep doing what you do.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate that. Well, I've got people like you that just fill me with inspiration all the time, mate. And every time I see your work, I sit there going, wow, all right, okay. Okay, he's just raised the bar another level on that one. But thanks again, mate. All right, Pete, I'll sign off. And guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Again, if you want to support the channel, please go down to the link down below and use the affiliate link with the promo code Birdwood for CB Giddy if you do want to order. And if you want to see what I'm doing, you can go to birdwoodguitars.com. If you want to see what Pete's doing, pop over to YouTube and type in Buzzard Guitars. I've got to ask you, where does that come from, Buzzard Guitars?
Well, Buzzard Guitars, basically, the buzzard's a scavenger. Picks on the carcass
yep.
of animals. And I recycle from the carcass of old antique furniture.
There you go.
And it's got that southern rock connotation.
Yep.
You know, cigar box guitars are called buzz boxes. So it's got everything good.
It just felt right.
Yeah.
Just felt right, mate. All right. All right. Well, people, well, thank you very much for listening. Do appreciate it. And we will catch you next week. See ya.